Okay. Y'all ready to get the Word of God this morning? That didn't sound like an extra hour sleep response. Y'all ready to get the Word of God this morning? There we go. That's what we need. Let's stand for the honor of reading God's Word. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at a psalm. And I hope as we get our minds prepared for where we're headed, as we look toward the advent and the coming of our Lord Jesus and the celebration of his life, death, and resurrection, that we'd also begin to preparing our hearts and minds and getting ready for that. So we're going to be looking at a psalm in the next each week for the next 3 weeks. And today we're going to look at Psalm 1, Psalm 1. The psalmist writes, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Let's pray. Lord, this morning, I pray that you would give us ears to hear, God. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help us, Father, to look to you for all things, that we would seek wisdom that comes from above, that you would lead us and guide us, and Father, that we would flourish in you. Help us to seek you, pursue you. Help me to preach plain and clear today, Lord. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The psalm gives us clarity and how we can live a fruitful life. How that our life can be blessed. The word blessed there, he says, blessed is the man. Blessed, it means happy. We think of Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount when he would say, blessed are the peacemakers. Happy are, or blessed are they. And so we're going to look at what does that mean and how do we make sure that we are blessed people, because God desires that we are blessed. It is an outcome of our relationship with him. Now, the world thinks of happy as free from conflict and based on circumstances, right? So it's not happy in the world sense that, oh, I'm happy when something good comes my way. Oh, I get good news, I'm happy. Oh, I get bad news, then I'm what? Sad. I get something new. Oh, I'm happy. And then the something new breaks. Now I'm sad, right? And so happiness that the world grants us is based on what comes our way and what's good at the moment. The blessedness and the happiness that we get from the Lord is a deep-rooted joy and a delight that comes from knowing him personally. And so no matter what circumstance I might find myself in, I'm always blessed. I'm always joyful. I always have the presence of God with me. It could be a painful moment, but yet God's still with me and I'm blessed. Amen. How many of y'all experienced that even in the painful moments, God is still with you? He doesn't forsake you, and you feel the blessing of God's peace and presence on your life. Say amen. Amen. And so he says here, blessed is the man. So blessed is the man. Now he's going to explain to us how we can be blessed. Blessed is the man. He begins with a negative of warning. It's a warning saying, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Who walks not in the counsel of the wicked or takes advice from the wicked. If you want to be blessed, then you can't take advice from someone who doesn't love the Lord and doesn't have what God wants for you, doesn't have a mind and a heart that loves God, doesn't have a faith in God. He says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners or in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Now, notice the progression here. If you have your Bible, I would have you underline and highlight walk, stands, and sits. Here we have, notice the progression. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. We have walk, stand, and then sit. Notice the progression. You start walking along some people that have an anti-God view of the world, that has just a hatred even for God, or just dislike or indifference. It doesn't matter. It's someone that doesn't allow God to be part of their life. And so you walk along. If you take advice from people who don't love the Lord, they're never going to steer you in the things of God. They're always going to steer you away from things. You start walking with them. You start listening. And then the walk stops and you start standing. And then you start entertaining the ideas and the thoughts and the philosophies and the view of life in a way that is not a Christian way of looking at things. And so you buy into what the popular thought is, what the cultural conception is, and you begin to entertain that. And then before long, you're sitting right there at the table and you have bought into a whole new way of looking at the world that's not of God. And so you've been sucked into the cultural influence. And now all of those social media influencers that are out there seeking your attention, you buy into them and you begin thinking like them, living like them, talking like them, dressing like them. And so what the psalmist says, if you want to have a blessed life, you can't take their advice. I'm not going to take someone's advice who doesn't love Jesus. I'm not going to model my life after somebody that doesn't love Jesus. I don't care how popular they are. I don't care how many followers they have. They might be the best singer in the world. They may be a guy that can sing the greatest, but if he's wearing a dress, I'm not modeling my life after him. I'm not walking that path. I'm not standing with that crowd. I'm not sitting at that table. We could write it this way this morning. Blessed is the man who searches not wickedness in Google, nor browses the sites that come before him, nor clicks on the links below. How many people have destroyed their life with a simple search? And then a browse. Oh. And then a click. You have moved from walking to standing to now sitting. And you're feasting at a table you do not belong at, and one that doesn't provide good nourishment, but only that leads to death. So we must be careful. Blessed is the man or the woman who does not flirt at the office. I'm going to preach today. Is that okay? Nor sends the text, nor meets at the hotel room. How many marriages have been ruined? How many worlds have been collapsed because of a simple flirt that turns into something more that then turns into an affair? If you want to ruin your life, then heed all the counsel of unrighteous people. And that'll be a sure way to not be blessed. If you want to have a life of ruin and destruction, then listen to the mockers, listen to those who mock at faith. Listen to those who denounce faith. Listen to those who have tried to destroy faith and don't believe in God and have no fear of God. Psalm 36:1 says this, transgression speaks to the wicked deep in their heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. The person who does not love God, honor God, worship God, has no fear of God. So therefore, their life doesn't reflect one that wants to honor him or pursue him. Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Walking in darkness, blackness, the way of the wicked. And so the psalmist in 26:4 says this, I do not sit with men on falsehood, nor do I consort with hypocrites. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. There's got to be a time in our life where we make up our mind and say, who am I going to listen to? Who am I going to follow? If they have a worldview that is opposite of what the Bible says, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to follow. I'm not going to buy into that. I'm not going to be sucked in to believing something that is contrary to what God's word says. I'm not going to let them pull me on the path of destruction. Jeremiah, remember Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Why? Because he was the one preaching the truth of God's word. He was telling them that judgment's coming. God's not happy. We have left God. We've stop serving God, and he's going to bring judgment. Well, nobody liked that message. They wanted him to shut up, and they would throw him in a well, and they would throw him in prison. And so he had this to say about his situation in Jeremiah 15:17. He says, I did not sit in the company of revelers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because your hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation. You gave me this holy dissatisfaction that I can't compromise. I can't be like what the culture says. I've got to preach what God says. I've got to declare the truth. And if nobody wants to be my friend, if I can't get into a group and I can't get into a clique, so be it. I'll be fine all by myself. Because he knew that even though he has to make a decision, okay, no one else may believe this. I might be the only odd one in my high school or my middle school or in my college or at my workplace. I might be the only one that stands for what God wants me to do. And if I'm excluded, so be it. I'll be fine all myself, because the psalmist says there in Psalm 1, for my delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates on it day and night. I've got more than enough company right here in the word of God to keep me satisfied. I've got God's word. It's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I have the Bible that tells me everything that I need to know. If I need to know what I need to do in life, if I need some godly counsel, I go to the word, because it'll never lead me astray. I have the word of God. Look at it. Verse 2, but his delight, his pleasure, his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. That word meditate there, it means to coo over, to growl. It's a growling. It's an utterance of where you're speaking it softly over and over. It has the picture that the word of God is constantly on your mind and throughout your life and throughout your day. When there's decisions that need to be made, you have the word of God going over in your mind. It's what Paul would say, take every thought captive. That the word of God is your guidance, that the word of God is the one that leads you on the way. And the psalmist says that your word is a delight, it's pure pleasure, and I'm going to pursue you every day and every night. Do you value the word of God? And do you see it as precious? A psalm that you could read this week would be Psalm 19. It's a very long psalm. It's the longest psalm of the books. I want to read a little bit of it, starting in verse 1. Psalm 119 He writes, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame. Having my eyes fixed on all your commandments, I will praise you with an upright heart. When I learn your righteous rules, I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all the riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes and I will not forget your word." The psalmist here says that your law, your word, your commands, your instruction is worth more than rubies, than precious stones. It's worth more than all the riches. If I were to be given an opportunity to have a lot of wealth or to have God's instruction, the psalmist says, I would take God's instruction every single time. What about you? Do you value, do you see God's word as treasures, as valuable, as something that is so worth all time, energy, and effort that you are to pursue God in his word so that you might be enriched and blessed by God? We have so many Bibles now, multiple types of translations. I mean, you can get any type of translation you want, all kinds of Bibles, right? You got men's study Bibles and women's study Bibles, and you've got even spirit-filled Bibles, which is always confusing to me because I thought they were all spirit-filled. But anyway, you've got all kinds of different types of translations and Bibles you can have. And so we sell a lot of Bibles in America, but studies show we don't read them. We may buy them. We may gift them, but we don't read them. And if we do read them, we don't obey it. And if we're not reading the Word of God, not obeying the Word of God, not cherishing the Word of God and loving it, then we're missing how we are to be blessed. I got to give you some information that I would normally save later, but because of what we're going to try to do, I need to go ahead and start talking about it now. All right, so hopefully we can get everyone to buy in on this, to actually say, yes, I want to be a part of this. So in the new year, okay, in the new year of 2022, we as a church, I'm going to challenge you now. I don't have the sign up out there yet. You're going to be hearing more about it in the weeks to come. We've got study guides and discussions that's going to go along with this. We're going to try to arrange for where, if you want to meet in groups, you can. This will be a possibility as well. But the goal in the new year is going to be that we are going to read the New Testament together as a church in the first 16 weeks. That means at the beginning of the new year until Easter, we will have read the entire New Testament together as a church. Amen. Chase, you're the only one that gave me a hand clap. Thank you. I appreciate that, brother. How exciting. Now, think about that. How exciting and what kind of impact could happen in our lives and in the lives of the church and our community if we as Living Water Church would commit to reading God's word, the New Testament, okay? We'll start the New Testament. Now, some of you probably have read the New Testament several times over. while some of you may have never read the entire New Testament. You may have read parts of it. You may have read a gospel or two, or maybe one of the letters, but you've never really fully read the entire New Testament. Statistics show that even it's very rare that Christians read the Bible in its entirety. So we're going to focus on the New Testament. Why? Because we've got to get into the Word of God, and it's got to be precious to us, and we got to hear what God is saying. Why? Because the one who meditates on God's Word and follows God's Word and pursues God through His Word, verse 3 in Psalm 1, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. The person who pursues God, who listens to God, who follows his advice and lives according to his will, says will be like a tree. Not just a tree, but a tree that is planted. Not just haphazardly, not just a seed drop, not just accidentally, but planted. Not just planted anywhere, but planted by the stream of water. Or some translations, and I like this one better, is a river of water. The trees planted by the river flourish because there's always a source of water for it to draw from. And that tree that's planted by the bank of the river, as that water moves through, it says it flourishes. If we want our life to flourish, if we want to be blessed, if we want to be blessed and to be full of the joy of the Lord, to be full of the peace of God, to be full of grace, to be full of mercy, to be full of compassion, to be full of obedience, if we want to drink, we have to be planted by the river, and we got to let that water flow through our lives each and every day. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its root by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remains green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. When you're planted in the Word of God, your trust continues to build and build and get stronger and stronger. And the more I trust God, and the more I experience God, the more I find Him faithful. And it doesn't matter how heavy the rain comes down, I'm planted by the river. I trust in the Lord. It doesn't matter how hard the wind blows, I'm planted by the river. I trust in the Lord. He is with me, and He will lead me, and He will make me prosper, and I will produce the fruit that He has purposed for me to produce. Jesus said it this way in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. For by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Does Jesus want our life to be fruitful or fruitless? Does he want us to be blessed or cursed? Blessed. And so when we are in Jesus and we remain in Jesus, then the fruit of the Spirit begins to flourish in my life. I have a peace that passes all understanding. I have a joy that the world cannot offer. I have faith that no one can shake. I live in the awareness and the knowledge and the comfort that God has His hand on me everywhere I go. Before one of the great feasts, and as Jesus was ending towards the end of his ministry, John records an event when Jesus stands up in the temple. In John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and what? Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Here's the promise that Jesus made. If we believe in Christ and we trust in Him, then the Holy Spirit seals us, comes into our life, seals us until the day of redemption, and the rivers of living water flow in us, through us, and out of us. That the Holy Spirit of God is given to every born-again believer, every man and woman who's called upon the name of the Lord receives this river of living water, the Holy Spirit. And we are designed to pursue God through the river. Now, the river, what is different about a river than a swamp? Okay. A river has banks. A river has boundaries. A river has the banks that moves the water and it goes somewhere. A swamp is just water with no boundaries, and it just saturates whatever it feels there. Now, the Holy Spirit is the river that runs through the believer, but the Word of God is the banks, it's the boundaries. The Word of God directs our steps. You with me? A life with no boundaries is a swamp. If you live your life apart from God's directives and His instruction, if you do it the way you want to do it, if you want to erase the boundaries, if you want to remove the boundaries, if you want to adopt new boundaries, it's going to flood. It's not going to work. Your life's going to be a swamp. What happens when you don't do life the way God says to do life? Where do you end up? In a swamp. You end in misery, chaos. But when you flow in the river with the boundaries of God's word, you flourish. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to do something that is contrary to His word. Amen? So if you want to know what God wants and desires for you, it will always come in the boundary of the riverbank of His word. That's why the psalmist says over and over again how much he loves His word, how much he loves the law of God, because he realized that as he lived his life in the boundaries of what God said to do, it caused him to flourish and to prosper. How well are we flowing and pursuing God through His river that is embanked and channeled through His word? For there is a river, the Bible says, that makes glad the city of God. Ezekiel was a prophet of God. Ezekiel 47, he's taken up, he's shown the third temple. And I believe this is a picture of Christ and the gospel. And I believe that he's showing us what's going to happen when the Messiah comes. And he brings him to the temple, and there's a trickling of water that happens there in the sanctuary. Just a trickling. And the water then begins to flow out of the sanctuary, outside the temple, outside the courts, and he's told to go measure it. And he takes him through a process, and he says, I went out so far, and the water was ankle deep. Then I went on out further, and it was knee deep. Then I went out even further and measured, and it was waist deep. Then he said, son of man, go out and a little further and measure again. And it was up to my neck, and it was so full that you could swim in it. And the river that was there was so full of life that wherever it went, it brought life. And verse 9 in chapter 47 says, wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be very many fish, for this water goes there, that the waters of the sea may become fresh, so everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside the sea from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. It will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. Everywhere the river goes, life happens, but there are swamps and marshes where it's going to be left alone, where they make their own boundaries. They take all of God's boundaries down and erect their own, and it is death. As the psalmist said in 1:4, the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will what? Perish. Ungodly advice, ungodly influence, ungodly philosophies, swamp, death, doesn't bring life. Only the river brings life. Only the river that makes it through. And so we go back to Ezekiel in verse 12 there, and it says, and on the banks on both sides of the river there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. Can I admonish you today? If you try to live your life the way that the culture says to live it, and if you embrace the world's ideologies, modern thought and politics, whatever your superheroes and sports stars are saying, you will be led astray. Many people who love not God, fear not God, have a lot of opinions. And our culture is full of opinions. Social media has made it to where every fool can voice their opinion. And when others follow, it seems to validate what they say, but if it is contrary to what God's word says, it's swamp. I don't care how many followers they have. I don't care if I have to be all by myself, all alone, just with my Bible. I'll take that every day because I know his word is true. I know that it is life, and I know that what he says is the right way, and it brings blessing and not cursing. You see, for there is a river that makes glad the city of God. That river that Ezekiel saw, that was a picture of what Jesus came to do. You see, people are swimming in their own swamps, digging out their own wells, drinking from their own water, and they're dying. It's death. But there was a God who loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And as Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary, there the blood of Jesus flowed down that rugged Roman cross. Just a trickle. And that blood came down, and as he was resurrected on that third day and he met with his apostles in the upper room, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it began to flow. And on the day of Pentecost, when Peter got up to preach and he preached and the Spirit of God moved, and thousands of people came to know the Lord, the river began to be in the ankle. And then it went to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. It went knee. It went waist. And now it's up to the neck where we're swimming, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And by the end of the book of Acts, the gospel had been taken to the outermost parts of the world. And fish of all kinds have been gathered by fishers of men. And we've seen all people groups and all peoples from all over the world have responded to faith in Jesus. There's still more that need to be caught. There's still more that need to enter into the water. But the river of God is flowing through the gospel. And the gospel brings life to every soul it touches. Every person who confesses their sin and places their faith in Jesus comes alive, is a new creation. Old things are passed away, new things have begun. And John said in chapter 22, verse 1, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And then in verse 17, it says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. For the psalm is true. In Psalm 32, blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning,